For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Wonderful. Do you know John 3:17? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. See, that's the good news. Could he condemn us? Absolutely. Be justified. But that wasn't his assignment. His assignment is to bring us home. How many of you are glad that that's his purpose?
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon. Today, a message Pastor Wayne gave on Easter Sunday entitled, Welcome Home.
You see, God allows us to have choice. To me, that's a sacred gift, isn't it? Because if you had no choice, we'd be robots, and God doesn't want to make robots. God loves us so much, and he's a gentleman, that he doesn't force choices on you and me. He offers it to us, and we get to choose because it tells him our heart, and he wants our hearts. So listen carefully. God gives us the sacred gift of the prerogative of choice, but what he doesn't give us is the privilege to dictate a different consequence that those choices incur. He gives us a sacred gift of the prerogative of choice, but what he doesn't give us is the privilege to change the consequences of those choices. They're set. But we must make the choice, and if you've never made that choice, I want to give you that opportunity today to say yes to Jesus Christ. He's waiting, and he's passing this way. Zacchaeus has to make a choice, and what he doesn't know is his life is about to change forever. Jesus gives him that choice, and he makes it. I'm going to unpack some of the verses here. Let's take a look at this next verse. I love this next verse. It says, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Notice that. Jesus really likes short people. That's right there in the Bible. I mean, he tolerates big people, but he loves short people. It says, so Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him since Jesus was passing that way. I want you to know that Jesus is passing through New Hope today. And he's looking for people that want to see him. And Zacchaeus wanted to see him. He was curious. Maybe the emptiness in his soul was becoming so acute that he knew he needed to do something about it. And some people called Jesus an imposter. Some called him a charlatan. Some called him just another Jewish teacher. But some called him Savior. And he was thinking, if that's true, I want to see him. So he climbs up in a sycamore tree. Now, the Bible continues and says this. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Did you catch that? He calls him by name. He hadn't met Zacchaeus before. He's in the middle of a crowd. And he says, Zacchaeus, you're the house I'm going to today. Like, what? You see, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to actually carry the cross for our redemption. But he detours through Jericho, 7 miles east of Jerusalem, almost as if he was going to see one person, Zacchaeus. And I thought, how'd you know? It's almost as if he heard Zacchaeus' cries before he climbed the sycamore tree. Did you know that even if you have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior yet, he hears your prayers? And he notices, and he knows you by name. And he comes and makes an opportunity for you to see him face to face. He's passing this way because he's heard your prayers and he's heard your cries. But now that's his choice to notice you. The next choice is yours, to accept him. Now I want you to do that today. So he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to be at your house. Now there's going to be some obstacles. Because all of a sudden, the crowd rises up. And the next verse says, and all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But right then, Zacchaeus had a speech already prepared. He said, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. You see, Zacchaeus had to hurdle some obstacles. You will too in coming to Jesus. Some of you may have to fight traffic or parking to get here. Some of you, your kids misbehaved or you got into a fight with a spouse or whatever, but you hurdled those obstacles and you're here. And Jesus notices and calls you by name. Zacchaeus fought the crowd. The crowd reminded Zacchaeus of what a sinful man you are. You'll have to fight those too, won't you? Because sometimes you're your own crowd. What are you doing in that church? I remember in Farrington, there's some guys I invited to church, some big local guys, and they go, hey, brother, you don't want us to go to your church? And I said, no, come. No, we go to your church, your roof can fall in. They must have come to the church. So we knew you were coming this morning, so we reinforced the ceiling. So no worries. But Zacchaeus had to overcome obstacles, and you will too. But then, when the crowd points out what a sinner you are, and sometimes the crowd is within you, and you condemn your own self. What am I doing? I don't need to do that. Or worse than that, you start to excuse yourself. Well, I ain't that bad. I don't need church. Tell your spouse, you need church. Go church. I don't need church. I remember in Gila, next to us was a Buddhist man, and I'd go to church every day, you know, because I'm a pastor. And he comes out to his fence one day, and he goes, hey, Father Wayne. I said, yes, my son. No use arguing, you know, just whatever. He said, how many times do you have to go to church every week? I said, what are you talking about? He said, every time I come out here, you go to church. I said, well, yeah, I'm a pastor. So how many times do you have to go to church? I said, I think I go like six times a week. He said, six times a week? I said, yes. He said, you must be pretty bad to have to go six times a week. There's obstacles that we have to overcome. And that crowd within says, you're terrible. You shouldn't go to church. But he has to overcome that. And instead of excusing himself and making some rationale, he comes to the Lord and says, Lord, I am. I'm just what they say. I mean, I just love that. No pretense, just truth, honesty. And it's important that you be truthful and transparent before God, because transformation always follows transparency, never pretense and excuses. And so he was just really transparent. If you try to excuse yourself and I ain't that bad, everybody else is bad, I'm not that bad, it always backfires on you. Mark my words. I remember this funny story. This holy guy was studying for the ministry in a Midwest seminary, and he really wanted to focus on God, and he was going to go into the ministry. And spring break comes, so he gets on an airplane, and he's flying west to go for spring break, and he really wants to focus on God. So he's in his seat and going to do his devotions trying to focus on God when the most beautiful lady comes on the plane. And he looks up at her, and all of a sudden, chicken skin's like, oh, my mama. And she comes in and says, oh, man, I got to marry this lady. She's beautiful. She has a plumeria in her hair. Oh, wow, she's a girl from Hawaii. And lo and behold, there's an empty seat next to him, and that's her seat. She sits down right next to him. Oh, man, he's breaking out in hives now. And then he's like, oh, man, I got to marry this. She's beautiful. And then, to even make it even better, she reaches into her satchel and pulls out a Bible and starts doing devotions, soap, life, journal. He goes, whoa, she's a Christian. This is my wife. I know it is. So he works up the courage and he says, excuse me, If you were going to date a guy, what kind of guy would you date? She said, excuse me? What kind of guy would you date if you dated a guy? She said, well, if you want to know, I kind of like American Indian guys because the Indians are so brave, American Native Americans. But then I like Portuguese guys, either full or half Portuguese, because they're so handsome. And he's writing these qualities down on a piece of paper. But she says, well, really, the bottom line is, because I'm from Hawaii, I like the local boys because, you know, they're so jovial. Okay, well. And he says, what's your name? She said, my name is Mary. She said, what's your name? He said, my name is Geronimo Silva, but my friends, they call me Kimo. It don't work. It don't work. See right through you. And Zacchaeus had no excuses. This is who I am. And yet he called him by name. Zacchaeus, come down. And he doesn't condemn him. The next verse says this. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today salvation, not condemnation. Salvation has come to your house. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. You see, Jesus could condemn every single one of us and be justified, but he didn't come for that reason. There'll be a day when judgment will happen, but he's here seeking and saving you and me. That's his goal. Sometimes we think, oh, I don't want to come to the Lord because it's so condemnatory. No, he's come to seek and save the lost. Let me introduce you to the loneliest verse in the Bible. Are you ready? Everybody knows their neighbor, the neighbor of this verse, but nobody knows the verse. To prove it, let's all quote from memory. No scriptures on the board now. And I just want you to quote John 3:16. Are you ready for God so loved? Go. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Wonderful. Do you know John 3:17? Yeah, it's the loneliest verse in the Bible because hardly anybody knows that. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. See, that's the good news. Could he condemn us? Absolutely. He'd be justified. But that wasn't his assignment. His assignment is to bring us home. How many of you are glad that that's his purpose? Yeah. Oh. We say, Wayne, what about the sin thing? Oh, yeah, that's real. Yeah, but God really gets mad when we sin. Well, for one reason, but not the reason you think. Why? Yeah, you see, you're not punished for your sins. You're punished by your sins. And that's why God says, don't. Because I know how I designed you and created you, and I love you so much, and that stuff is killing you. Because, see, every time I sin, it creates a spiritual debt that demands to be paid. And I can't pay that spiritual debt. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why we say you got to come to Jesus. Because that's the free gift of eternal life. That's the good news. It's wonderful news. Man, well, what about that debt of sin? I can't pay it. So Jesus did. He took your sins and mine. And that's why, and it'll come up on the board, would you put up there 2 Corinthians 5:19? And it says this, God was in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, but reconciling them to himself. That's his purpose. He came to reconcile you and me to himself. And so that's what Easter is all about. That he comes to deal with that sin problem, but he's the only one that can pay for that. And he gives us a chance. In fact, it was on the cross when he said, it is finished. You know, he said that in Aramaic, actually, and Aramaic is tetelestai. And that's actually the translation, it is finished, but in actuality, it's a banker's term. You know what it means? Paid in full. The debt is paid. And now you get to make a choice to receive that wonderful free gift. And everyone has to make that choice. By not making that choice, you make a choice. You must make that choice. And if you've never made it, please do so today. I want to give you that opportunity. But let me first finish with a story. Let's say I went into a bank and I had a really good business venture. And I knew that if I could invest X amount of dollars, it would come back 20-fold. So I went to a bank and borrowed several million dollars because this is going to be a blockbuster. It's going to be great. And the banker says, well, how long do you need it? I just need it a year because it'll go crazy within the year. Well, what do you have as collateral? Oh, I don't know. Well, you'll have to put your house down as collateral, maybe everything you got. No problem. And you're going to pay it on this date? Absolutely. Well, what if you don't? Whatever. You can have my house. I'm so positive that this is going to happen. Well, if you don't pay it, then you're going to have to also pay in jail because it's fraud. No, it's not fraud, man. I tell you, we got it. Okay, so I sign the collateral sheets and everything else. Well, the year goes by, and one major problem after another hits, and by 9 months, it's a total flop. I lose everything. The day comes to pay it back, and I go to the bank sheepishly, and the banker said, well, do you have the money? I said, I don't. How much do you have? I said, oh, man. I look at my pockets and I say, I got a quarter. He says, hardly. I said, I lost everything. Banker says, well then, you've also lost your house and everything you got, and you're going to go to jail. I lower my head, yeah. He calls the guards over and handcuffs are put on me to take me away. Just then, really super rich Japanese man comes in the bank. Name is Mr. Takasaki. He has like $1.2 billion. He owns Natsunoya, Shirokiya, Shabu Shabu, Chimichanga, and Longs. And he comes in and he said, Wayne-san, how are you? We're good friends. Oh, Mr. Takasaki, oh, you have handcuff on your hand. Yes, sir. Why you have a handcuff? I made a bad loan and can't pay it back. Not good. Yeah, it's not good. Oh, I'm so sorry. So what happened now to family? I don't know. We're done. We're finished. Nah. Not good. So he turns to the banker. He says, you know, I have $1.2 billion on account. Banker goes, yes, sir, Mr. Takasaki, we know. He says, I have enough money to buy this bank. Yes, sir, we know. Mr. Takasaki says, he's my friend. So why don't you take his debt and apply it to my account? I'll pay for it. Well, the banker says, well, that's very kind of you, Mr. Takasaki, but that's really not between you and me, whether or not he wants his debt applied to your account. It's really between you and Wayne, whether or not he wants his debt applied to your account. So Mr. Takasaki turns to me and says, well, I said, boy, I would want nothing more in life than to have you do that, to be so gracious and so generous. Good. He turns to the banker and says, get his bill, and I want you to stamp on that, paid in full. That's what Jesus did for you and for me. It's paid in full. And you see, it's not between you and me, it's between us and He who owns it all. And if you never made that decision, do it today. That's what Easter's all about. And that will be the most eternal decision you will ever make. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here and you say, that's me, Lord, would you come into my heart? I accept you and the free gift of eternal life. Thank you for taking my sin and my debt and applying it to your account. If that's you right now, would you right now just raise a hand to him, not to me, and say, yep, that's me, God. I want to receive you as Lord and Savior. Okay? Yep. Yep. Okay. Yep. Yep. Good. Just wait a second. That's you. There's some obstacles you may need to overcome. That crowd denying you might be within your own head. You need to overcome that. And when you do, Jesus notices. He notices. You can put your hands down. If this is the first time you're receiving Christ, as you go out, there'll be some ushers with some follow-up material. Please tell them, I said yes today, and they'll give you a packet that'll help you so much in your first few steps with Christ. Or if you're online, you can text to our phone number the word yes, and we'll send it to you digitally. Let me ask another question. You say, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but my soul feels lost. I've drifted a long ways away, but it's time for me to come home. Jesus, I'm coming home. If that's you, you raise a hand. Say, yep, that is me. That is me. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Yep, yep. Okay. Good, good. We're going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to give you the words, but you add the heart. It's a simple prayer, but let's open our hearts to Jesus. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came, died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And now I say this so everyone hears, so you hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, that's the cry of our hearts. Thank you for receiving us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Easter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome these who said yes. Now let's stand and we'll sing our final song. And again, if this is your first time, make sure that you grab some follow-up material on your way out. Welcome to New Hope. We're glad to welcome you home. Now may the peace of the Lord Jesus be on you and let His countenance shine upon you. And we bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you give the Lord a clap offering? And let's sing together in Christ alone.
In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength.
give someone a hug on your way out.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Welcome Home, a message given on Easter Sunday by Dr. Wayne Cordero at New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Now for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.